Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
Some Christian leaders today refer to themselves as apostles. But what is the basis for taking such an authoritative title? The Apostle Paul gave his qualifications in his epistles to Titus and Timothy. Stay with us as we discuss how God establishes the authority in the church. This is Matt Miller with Bob Danker for our first life study from the book of Titus. Bob, thanks for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be with you again, Matt.
Bob, the subject of the book of Titus is the maintenance of order in the church. Why is this so important to believers today?
Well, Matt, this epistle to Titus was actually written after Paul had been released from his first imprisonment. So Paul had spent a certain amount of time in a Roman prison. And while he was there, of course, he could not minister to the churches. He could not help the churches that had been raised up under his ministry. So the churches had actually passed through a time of testing while Paul was locked up in a Roman prison. Well, certain of the churches became a little bit disorderly during that time, so Paul was burdened to write this epistle to Titus and to give him instructions on how to maintain the proper order in a local church. And the main thing that he charged Titus to do, we'll get to that in verse 5 later, is to appoint elders in every city. That means elders in every church. So when the elders are established, then you have the proper authority, and with the proper authority in the church, then the order in the church can be maintained.
Thanks, Bob. I'm going to read the first 5 verses of the epistle of Paul to Titus in chapter 1. Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's chosen ones and the full knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the times of the ages, but in its own times manifested his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the command of our Savior God. To Titus, genuine child according to the common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this cause I left you in Crete, that you might set in order the things which I have begun, that remain, and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Let's join Witness Lee for today's life study.
In Titus, in this book, quite a number of deep things were revealed, which had never been touched in other books. Paul was an apostle according to 2 things, according to faith, according to truth, which is according to godliness. Now he is also in something, in the hope of eternal life. 1 Timothy says, Paul was an apostle according to the command of God. And 2 Timothy says, Paul was an apostle according to the life promised by God. One was according to the command, and the other was according to life. We all know command is something demanding, something requiring. Paul was appointed to be an apostle because he was required. He was commanded. Then 2 Timothy says he was an apostle according to the eternal life promised by God. We have to know command always requires, but life always supplies. So God requires firstly, and God comes in later to fulfill the requirement. God commanded Paul to be the apostle to carry out his New Testament economy. Paul may have told him, Lord, who am I? I can't do it. I cannot fulfill this high requirement. Then the Lord said, I will be the better life that is able to carry out my requirement. And this I is just the eternal life. God himself in Paul became the eternal life, to be the life supply, to be the life support that Paul can carry out. God's New Testament economy, as God commanded and as God required.
Bob, let's stop here. I really like these two aspects of the Apostle Paul's apostleship. First, he was an apostle based on the command of God described in 1 Timothy 1, and then he was an apostle in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, according to the promise of life. First is the demand, and then is the supply. What a wonderful picture.
It is a wonderful picture, Matt, and this is the way God deals with man. In the beginning of the Bible, God created man in his own image, according to his own likeness. Man was created by God in a very particular way, so that man could become the very expression of God. Even though God did not give Adam a list of commandments, like the Ten Commandments that he gave Moses, still there was a certain requirement that God had upon the man that he created. The man that God created should be God's expression. He should manifest what God is because he has God's image. However, in himself, Adam was not able, did not have the capacity to become God's expression. So, as Genesis 2 tells us, God put Adam in a garden. And in that garden, there was the tree of life. And the tree of life is a symbol representing God himself as life to man. If Adam would eat the tree of life, he would receive the very God as the eternal life into him. And this life, or this God who is life, would be the rich and bountiful supply so that Adam could fulfill God's requirement and meet God's demand. If Adam would have received the tree of life, he would spontaneously have the capacity to express and manifest God. It's the same kind of situation here with Paul. God's command made Paul an apostle. But in himself, Paul did not have the capacity to fulfill God's command. So he needed something from God to enable him to fulfill this command. And that thing that he needed was the eternal life. And this eternal life is God himself. So when God entered into Paul, he became the eternal life in Paul, and that became the supply for Paul to meet what God required of him.
Bob, I just want to dwell on this point a little bit, maybe underscore it a little more. I think it's real striking, this point, and I hope every listener gets it. And I don't want to go on with the program until we make this crystal clear, that God has a requirement. There's a demand, but God doesn't expect us to fulfill that demand. He wants to fulfill the demand. As Witness Lee said in the program, he said, Paul may have responded to the Lord when he commanded him to be an apostle. He may have responded, Lord, who am I? I can't do it. I cannot fulfill this highest requirement. What a wonderful response to the Lord. But some may feel too proud to be able to talk to the Lord this way. But this isn't a shame, is it?
It is not a shame, Matt. This is music to God's ears, so to speak. Actually, God expects us to respond in such a way because his requirement upon us is much, much too high. We cannot attain it. So instead of telling him, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do my best. I'll do it. I'll fulfill your requirement. This is a response that doesn't make God happy at all. But if we tell him, Lord, I can't fulfill your requirement. I just don't have the capacity. Therefore, I need something from you. I need you yourself to enter into me to fulfill your own requirement in me and through me. This is what God wants to hear from us.
You know, Bob, in your words just now, it reminded me of the response of the children of Israel when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, and their response was, "Is Moses, tell God that whatever you have said, we will do." That wasn't music to God's ears.
It was not.
Yet in our natural thought, we think that's a noble effort. It's an honorable gesture to tell God we're going to do whatever you say. We think that's wonderful. But it's not, is it? God's reaction in that picture was not one of happiness, was it?
It was not, Matt. Actually, in saying to God, whatever you tell us to do, we will do, that was an offense to God. Because the children of Israel did not realize how unable they were to meet God's demands. And the best response we can make whenever we feel God requires something of us is to say, Lord, I can't make it. I need you to be my life, to be my supply, so that I can meet your requirements.
God gives grace to the humble.
Wonderful.
And he sets himself against the proud. The whole book of Galatians gets into this more, Bob, and I think we could spend the whole radio program on this one point, but we're not in the life study of Galatians right now. We're in the life study of Titus. So we better go on to our next portion with Witness Lee.
In Titus, something more. Plus to the command of God and plus to the eternal life according to the faith of God's chosen ones, and the full knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. So here Paul says, he was an apostle, not only according to the command of God, not only according to the eternal life of God, but also according to this organic union bringing faith. A kind of faith that brings you and me into the organic union with God. This is faith. The faith of the chosen one. Very meaningful. He was a very meaningful writer. What is chosen one? A chosen one means you are one not up to yourself. You are one up to his choosing. Did you choose him? Oh, he chose you. It's not up to you and me. It's up to him. Eternity, before the foundation of the earth on which I'm standing, I was chosen by him. Oh, what shall I do? The only thing I have to do is to bow down to praise him. Thank you, Lord. It's up to you.
Bob, I really like this phrase in the first verse of the book of Titus. Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's chosen ones. As God's chosen ones, it's up to him, as Witness Lee just said. But I'd like you to say something about this word, the faith.
Yes, this matter of faith may be something that is little understood by most Christians. Actually, when we say that we believe in the Lord, it really means that we don't believe in ourselves, that we admit that we are not able to fulfill God's requirements. So the first meaning of faith is to declare to God, I am nothing, I cannot do it, I cannot satisfy your demands. I don't have it within me to do that. This is the first aspect of faith. Then the second aspect of faith is to receive God himself in Christ as the supply to meet the demand. So to believe is to receive. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become the children of God, to those who believe into his name. So to believe is to receive. So on one hand, to believe means that you admit and even declare that you are not able to meet God's demands. On the other hand, to believe is to receive Christ as the eternal life that enables us and empowers us and gives us the capacity to fulfill God's requirements. So faith is a wonderful, marvelous thing. And here Paul was declaring that he was an apostle not only according to God's command and not only according to God's promise of life, but according to the faith of God's chosen ones. All those who have been chosen by God have received from God this precious faith, as Peter mentioned in his second epistle. And with this faith, we can receive all that God wants to give to us.
Bob, there's another term here in Titus. It says, according to the full knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. I wonder if before we get into the next section with Witness Lee and the conclusion of today's life study, we're going to talk a little bit about the full knowledge of the truth. But how about this term, according to godliness? You know, a lot of people talk about the truth. A lot of people talk about apostleship. But Paul said his was according to godliness. What is this term godliness here that was the basis, partially, of Paul's apostleship?
Yes, godliness is, of course, is a term that's used several times in the New Testament. The most striking usage of this word is in 1 Timothy 3:16, which says, "And confessedly, great is the mystery of godliness, he who was manifested in the flesh." And then it goes on. So godliness really means the manifestation of God in man. This is why man was created, to manifest God. In order for this to happen, in order for us to have a godly living, we need God to live in us and to live himself out through us. This kind of living, a living that expresses God, that manifests God in humanity, is the godliness that is mentioned in the New Testament.
And I think this is part of how God establishes his authority in the church, according to godliness. A lot of people say they have truth. A lot of people say they have authority. But how many of them are really expressing God in the flesh?
That's right.
Let's go to Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
Paul was an apostle according to the faith of God to the ones. Amen. You have the faith, I have the faith, and he had also. It was this faith that brought Paul into the organic union with God. Amen. Through that organic union, he has been plugged into the divine electricity current. In that current, not once for all, but continually all day long, he received the eternal life. So he became such a strong apostle that can stand against that old Roman empire. Whose life was that capable? The eternal life. He was an apostle according to this eternal life, and this eternal life was brought into him through the faith which brought him into the organic union with this eternal life. According to this faith, not only so, but also according to the full knowledge of the truth. Maya. So this is why the Apostle Paul was that kind of apostle. According to four things: the command, eternal life, faith, and the full knowledge of the truth. According to these four things, Paul was a crazy, biggest, top troublemaker.
Well, Bob, we get to end our program today on the divine electrical current, which is based upon the organic union. Can you develop what Witness Lee just talked about, that the Divine life comes into us through the faith, which brings us into an organic union with Christ.
Yes, Matt. God very much desires to impart himself as life into us so that we can fulfill his requirements and satisfy his heart desire. But we need a way to receive what God wants to give us, and that way is faith. This faith, the genuine Christian faith, which we all have as believers, brings us into a organic union with the triune God. It's like the grafting of a branch into another tree. When you put the branch into the cut in the tree and you make the two one and they grow together, and the life of the tree flows in the branch and bears fruit through the branch. This is a picture of the organic union, a union of life that takes place between us and God whenever we believe in Christ. So it's by faith that we are brought into this organic union, and it's in this union that we receive the eternal life, which is God himself in Christ as the Spirit flowing into our being to supply us with the riches of what God is, so that we can fulfill God's requirements, so that we can live a life of godliness, a life that manifests God, and we can also carry out the commission that God puts upon us. In this case, Paul was commissioned to be an apostle. He needed the eternal life to be his supply, but to receive that life, God also gave him the faith that joined him in an organic union with the triune God. And in this union, Paul enjoyed the divine life as his bountiful supply.
He said he labored more abundantly than all the others in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but it wasn't by his own strength. It was by the grace of God laboring within him. Bob, I just wanted to repeat a word you just said that I thought was important related to the grafting, that we grow together with him. Romans 6:5, it says, "For if we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, indeed we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection." So there's a growing together. This is the Christian life. This is the organic union, this growing together of us with Christ, where we're living Christ by growing with him, not by doing anything apart from him. Apart from him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
Bob, before we sign off here, I just want to touch on this matter of the full knowledge of the truth. Truth is something we didn't touch on much, but it's also very critical, isn't it?
It really is, Matt, because when we believe in the Lord, we receive everything from him. We receive him as life. We receive his divine nature. We receive the Spirit. We receive so many marvelous things through faith. But the full knowledge of the truth is the full realization and appreciation of the reality of all the things that we have received. We need, in addition to faith, we need the full knowledge of the truth so that we can realize and appreciate what we have received. If we don't realize and appreciate what we have received, how can we enjoy it? How can we experience it?
You were telling me before the radio program started, Bob, about your salvation as a young man. You received the Lord, but the more you learn the truth, the more your experience of Christ improved, because the more truth you got, the more appreciation of Christ you gained.
Exactly, Matt.
And I hope this is what's happening to our listeners right now. As they listen to these life study programs day after day, they go to the internet, they read the life studies online, they call us for the written materials and get into the materials. It's helping our listeners get into the truth so that they would have more appreciation for Christ, have more experience of Christ, and their whole life becomes revolutionized. I know ours has, and I hope that our listeners are being brought into that same experience.
I agree, Matt.
Thanks for joining me today, Bob. We've run out of time.
It's good to be with you.
Well, and we hope that you would avail yourselves of our offer to get the printed materials. You can call us at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 1-888-543-3788. On behalf of Bob Danker, this is Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.
Receive us into thy wise eyes.
The Gospel of John unveils the New Testament reality of the types of Christ conveyed in the Old Testament tabernacle and offerings. The reality of the five main offerings in Leviticus serve as the examples in the first 12 chapters of John, and in chapters 13 through 17, the Gospel of John unveils the New Testament reality of the type of the tabernacle. The fulfillment of the tabernacle and the offerings in the writings of John is now available. Get your copy today by calling 1-800-549-5164.